Derek Mumbercut is the Sydney member to MLA and House Leader for the Nova Scotia Liberal Party, taking a look back at 2025. Coast Radio reached out to PC Premier Tim Houston, but his camp did not get back to us in time for broadcast.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting year in the sense that, since the provincial election, I've had the opportunity as the interim leader to travel around the province, and that gave me an opportunity to really have conversations with Nova Scotians about, you know, what we need to be focused on as a party, what they saw were some of the challenges that we had going into that election. And now fast forward a year later, you know, there's lots of momentum across the province. People are very supportive of Prime Minister Carney. That has rejuvenated the party on many levels, including his vision for what he wants to do across Canada and breaking down those interprovincial barriers, which is significant for the island, in my opinion, when it comes to major infrastructure, when it comes to the potential of bringing rail back, the main rail bed for transport and trade, and some other key infrastructure projects. So, very interesting year, and I had a front row seat and had thousands of conversations with Nova Scotians about what we need to do moving forward.
Mumbercut and his sole counterpart in the party, Ian Rankin, say they have their hands full dealing with their priorities since the provincial election. He speaks to recent Nova Scotia voting trends showing widespread support for the PC party provincially, while federally it's entirely Liberal.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, for us, we finished with only two seats in the last election, but had finished second in the popular vote. So there's lots of support for us out there. I think that ultimately I find in politics in my time, and I've been around now for a little while, that people are really hyper-focused more so on who's leading the actual party as much so as the political brand itself. So you're seeing all major political parties, for that matter, really kind of gravitate to similar messaging. And I think, you know, from our perspective, that's something that we're thinking about moving towards our leadership in 2026. Who's in the best interest of leading the party that will engage Nova Scotians? Nova Scotians obviously chose the PC party in the last election. And federally, people saw Mark Carney as the person that could, steady the ship in some of the most unprecedented, really economic and social times in a generation. So people really gravitate to that leadership. That leadership also comes with a message and what that message is. So that's something that we watch very closely and something that we learned in our own election.
For a time, Mumbercut was party leader, now House Leader. He says discussions at the helm will take place in the new year.
So that was the decision that we made early on for both of us. So for me, I wanted the opportunity to go out and engage Nova Scotians. Ian and I work very closely on all files as it is, and that won't change. So the agreement was when the election was over is that I would take on the first year and Ian would take on the second year moving into the leadership. So it also gave me an opportunity to have a sense of what that entails, being the leader of the party. So for me, I never put any focus on myself running for permanent leader. That's something I'll talk to about with my family. But I think what was more important for me in the last year was ensuring that the party remained active, that we got into communities across Nova Scotia to engage not only the Liberals, but also all Nova Scotians about what matters in their communities. And that's why you've seen a lot of the legislation that we brought forward around the economy, why I've been so adamant on infrastructure here in Cape Breton when it comes to rail and when it comes to our port and the potential that we see here on the island to move forward. It's why we brought forward legislation around social media and our youth and mental health. So that was very important for me. The leadership's going to be very exciting. It's in November of 2026. I suspect we'll have a number of candidates that will be running, and the more the merrier. I think it's great to have a competitive competition for the leadership, and a lot of people are excited about it.
Nova Scotia's population experienced a dip in the third quarter of 2025, the first since 2020, decreasing by nearly 1,400 people, and many communities are dealing with a housing crisis. Mumbercut talks about solving this equation.
Well, we know, so from a housing perspective, the federal government is playing a big role in that. We're starting to see the investments that they're making, which in turn will support the province. I think one of the biggest narratives coming into 2026 that we should all be paying attention to, and that we've been talking about now for months, is the fiscal health of the province. We learned yesterday in the fiscal update that the $1.2 billion initial deficit that was announced in the summer is worse. So it's now $1.29 billion. That doesn't include the contingency of $200 million they put towards any potential tariff impacts. So that's going to play a big impact on the services that that Nova Scotians receive each day, that families use. We saw them already carve away the heating assistance rebate program. Thousands of people didn't qualify. That was one cost-cutting measure that they did, but now the deficit is even worse. So to your point, GDP is slowing. We're seeing the population decline. So ultimately, that's going to be less resources for the government. So this is a big concern for me. We're a population of a million people with now a deficit north of $1 billion. We haven't seen an economic plan from the government on how they're going to address it.
The topic of a new central library for the CBRM has been on the books for about 20 years, and there are plans to make Sydney's waterfront its new home. Mumbercat's interests go back to City Hall when he was a councillor for 4 years, starting in 2008.
I think it's excellent. I think that I was involved with this conversation as a councillor back in 2008-2009 when the initial reports are coming back indicating that, you know, if you're looking at building a new central library, it should be not one that's standalone. It should be tied into other aspects of the community, of business, to help sustain it in the long run. So now you have a plan in place where the city got creative, and this model is used in other areas where you're going to have a central library, and they have the ability over multiple decades to cover the cost of it. I think they've made a decision. I think ultimately, you know, you're going to have conversations. Some people will agree, some people will disagree. But now we're moving forward on a central library location. I was involved with funding requests over the years. You know, we were really close back in our time in government. It was really, at the time, it was just a matter of where the library was actually going to be for us to make the commitment. So now they have a location. And I hope the other levels of government see the importance of it. I think that's going to be key as they try to raise the $7.5 million they were talking about at council the other night. So I congratulate council. In politics, you're going to make decisions that some people will agree with and some people won't. But finally, council has picked a location. That's what we all needed for this to move forward. And I really want to also give credit to Pat Bates and the advocacy that he has done. He's been such a champion for this, and the advocacy group that's been involved, folks that are involved with the library, whether they're on the board or the administration. So exciting time for CBRM. It's one of the, when we were looking at the investments, that was one of the critical pieces with the community college and Sherrill Street redevelopment. We were able to get a lot of that stuff done. Now this is going to get done. So it's great.
Mumbercat's riding covers Member 2, and when asked about some community leaders, namely Jeff Ward in Member 2, about their interest in an international story involving the Vatican, Rome is returning some Indigenous artifacts back to Canada, while some believe Member 2 should be involved in the discussions in who gets what.
I think that that's very interesting, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Jeff about it, and I hope I do. But I think to the main point, like I've had the privilege of being an elected representative, representing the Greater Sydney area as a councillor and as MLA, and I've always cherished and respected the relationship that I've had with the entire community member too. I grew up there, we all went to school there, you know, we're raising our kids in the community, and there was always a deep respect for me for their self-government. They have their own government, and there are treaties, there are obligations to consult, and for me the biggest thing is keeping an open dialogue, whether it's on cannabis file, whether it's on what Jeff's talking about when it comes to artifacts. Member 2 has really been a beacon in our community in some of the toughest times, and we have a lot to learn, and we have a journey to go on together, because and Chief Paul has said it over the past in our conversations, is, you know, we all want what's best. We want what's best for the island. We want what's best for the communities in which we all live, and we want what's best for our kids. And I am really disappointed, would be an understatement, to see the relationship deteriorate so far between the Premier and the government and Mi'kmaq communities across Nova Scotia. It's not necessary. None of this conversation is necessary. if you sit down and have a conversation about shared goals, you may not agree on the path moving forward, but to show the respect is the foundation of everything. And this current provincial government has done a abysmal job of the relationship, which they need to repair. And for us, and for me as an elected representative here in the community, I've learned so much from the leadership and member two in the council, and we're going to maintain a strong relationship.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, Bill McCush, Coast Radio News.